This is iPodcast episode 31, Turkey GP. Welcome back.
Hello.
It's been 2 weeks. Before we get to the GP, I suppose we ought to catch up on all that news that we've missed.
There's bound to have been some.
Yeah, there wasn't that much though, let's be fair.
It was a bit of a holiday.
Some of the teams at the back of the grid are having some issues.
Who's that?
Specifically, Super Guri, they're having money troubles. One of their big sponsors, SS United, not paying.
No, they're still running sponsorship though for them.
I think they want to uphold their half of the contract.
So they got a bit of money up front and they haven't paid any more now.
No, the managing director of Super Guri said, "We gave them a deadline of July and now we are starting legal action."
Ooh.
So that's quite scary. And Spiker, they're the Spiker car manufacturers are planning to sell their bit of the F1 team.
Maybe.
Possibly. It also looks like Michael, I don't know if that's how you say it, Michael Moll resigned as CEO, so he might be about to buy that half of the team. I thought it was quite funny because team boss Colin Collis, he confirmed the future in F1 of Spiker, but actually all he said was we're keeping on until the end of this season.
That's six races when you said that.
Not that much of the future, really.
Okay, the short-term future of Spiker is absolutely fine. God knows what's going to happen in the long term.
Albers was thinking about suing Spiker for his unfair dismissal, but he's dropped that threat now because he wants a role in the team, he says.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm not going to see you, but give me a role in the team.
As what, exactly?
But he said he definitely does not want to be a test driver because, quote, "I do not see that as an option. We all know that Spiker do not test much."
Well, yeah, he does have a point, I guess.
Well, what other kind of role in the team is there for a driver?
Chauffeur. It could be the official team chauffeur.
Don't think that'd be very fast, though, would it?
It's not going places. I don't know. I can't imagine what else he could do, to be honest.
And more Spiker news, their B-spec car failed the crash test.
Yeah, it was supposed to make its debut in Turkey this week, wasn't it? And then it failed the mandatory FIA rear structure crash test. And what was the reason for that?
Well, Mike Gascoigne said he thought it was due to a batch of material that was used and not a problem, not at all, and it will be ready for Monza.
Okay, so next race, not a problem. Or do you mean for the test?
I think it's for the test.
Okay, good stuff. So at least, you know, he'll have time to test his car before he just sticks it on the racetrack and hopes it'll work. That's a good plan, actually.
BMW have announced their driver signings. It's the same as it is now.
So they're sticking with the two drivers for 2008.
Heidfeld and Kubica, but there's no word on the test driver yet.
Okay, but that seems like a pretty good choice.
There was talk that Heidfeld might go somewhere else because, you know, he's quite good.
Well, he's done a pretty good job of keeping Kubica at bay, hasn't he? Everybody thought that Kubica would have the run on him this year, as he did at the end of last year, and it's not happened. So that's, you know, that's sort of a plus in his favour.
But BMW might be a team to watch next year anyway, because they're on the up, aren't they?
They are in the ascendancy, but they are kind of relying on Renault's poor form this year. So whether or not they think they can step up to the likes of Ferrari and McLaren, I'm not sure whether they can do that. Let's see.
Before the race weekend, most of the teams do press conferences and things, and McLaren decided to hold their press conference out in the city, like at their hotels and things, rather than come into the circuit to the motorhome. That's weird.
I think it doesn't bode well for their brand new brand centre, does it? Because apparently there was a massive crush during, you know, the Hungarian qualifying debacle. There was a massive crush in there when all the media guys tried to squeeze in to a very small space. And then this week, when there's a bit of interest in the team, they decide they can't squeeze them all into their new kind of motorhome.
They said it was because it was too far to come just for a meeting all the way into the circuit.
Right.
That's what they said.
Yes. I think they might have also secretly been thinking, we might have to redesign this layout because there's lots of nice plasma screens, but nowhere to sit.
Some people did bother to turn up at the track, and at the FIA press conference, Coulthard was joking around with Massa and scared the poor guy silly.
He certainly did. He might have put a nugget of idea in Massa's head that perhaps they were favouring Kimi when they failed to fuel him during Hungary qualifying, which I think we already covered, but apparently it was news to Massa.
As we found a cool little story about it from Brad Spurgeon, who was actually there on his blog, and he says But then Coulthard went on to say that there were other ways to favour a driver over his teammate, and he suggested that Kimi Raikkonen had been favoured during qualifying at the last race when in Hungary the team forgot to fill up Massa's car with fuel during a pit stop. Massa had to be pulled back to the stand to receive fuel, and the whole thing destroyed his chances at making it to the third qualifying session. Coulthard said that no team would forget refueling, so it had to be a conspiracy. He added the word conspiracy when he saw Massa's surprised, negative and upset reaction to his words.
Ouch.
While Coulthard looked as if he was speaking partly tongue-in-cheek about the conspiracy aspect, it was most extraordinary to see the horrible look of doubt on Massa's face during the rest of the press conference. Coulthard appeared to have put a thought into his mind that he had not already had, and the Brazilian was mulling it over and thinking about how bad it was, or might be, if it was true that his team had somehow purposefully jeopardised his position.
He is mean.
Well, it's mean, but also, how could Massa not have thought that?
He's not that bright, I guess. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, he has absolute faith in his team.
Oh, yes. I love it. I really do. My favourite thing about the whole weekend was that press conference. We've already discussed that, you know, maybe it could have been a conspiracy and that, you know, Ferrari have to favour some driver or other at some point. And if they could make it look like an accident that they've started favouring Kimi, that, you know, that would play in their favour. So there could be something more to what Coulthard's suggesting. I just can't believe that Massa, it never even entered his head, not for 1 second.
Anyway, on to Friday, free practice one. Fernando Alonso turned up with a beard.
Not a very good one either.
What is with all the beards? Barrichello has a beard.
Yes.
Obviously, the Yeti has a beard.
Yeah.
Now, Alonso has a beard. Jensen has a beard. Oh, my God.
I don't like
the beard.
I thought Barrichello looked quite cool. I thought Alonso looked a bit of a mess, has to be said.
The moustache didn't do him any favours.
Was it deliberate and was it to wind up Ron?
I don't know. I think there were better ways to wind up Ron, really.
Oh, is there?
To
ruin his image? I'm wondering if maybe half the reason he didn't keep the guy away from the track on Thursday was because he took one look at that beard and thought, you're not going near a photographer.
He was embarrassed by the beard.
And maybe he thought he'd have a day to try and persuade him otherwise. Yes, I think his point's been made, though.
It was a bit of a slow start to proceedings. The track was slightly dusty because it's quite rarely used. Hamilton had a clutch problem and had to get out of the car while his team had a look at it. David Coulthard appeared to spin off on his own oil, and then flames appeared round the side pod. It's a bit of a setback because the team are bringing in a brand new front wing and they wanted to, you know, evaluate it, and that messed things up.
Yeah, they needed two cars on track. They needed to do direct comparisons between the two wings in identical conditions, and they couldn't do that with one car out of action.
And it caused so much damage they couldn't get him out at the beginning of free practice two either, so.
Burnt a load of wiring looms. Lots and lots of damage, and by the time they got it back, they didn't have time to get it up and running between the two sessions.
The fastest three were Raikkonen, Massa and Alonso. In free practice two, Vettel appeared to have a problem on his initial outlap and went straight back in the garage.
Slowly straight back in the garage.
Half an hour in, there was a red flag, and it turns out part of the draining system had been lifted up by the cars at turn 10.
Yep.
It was probably caused by Fisichella's rear wheel lifting it up, and it might have caused Wurz some damage on his floor because he ran over it.
This actually happened during a race, was it in China in 2005, when Montoya got caught out and he ran over it and destroyed part of his car. So officials are kind of wary about bits of drain sticking up when cars are running over at sort of 150 miles an hour. So they red flagged the session and they went out and took a look at it.
Yes, Charlie Whiting and Herbie Blash went out in the safety car. Have a look, and it took about 25 minutes before the session was restarted, but whilst it was red flagged, the clock just kept running.
Oh yeah, it does that.
So all the teams lost time, and that's not helpful.
No, it wasn't their fault, and Bernie couldn't have been happy seeing he's recently taken over this track, and so, you know, it was a bit embarrassing. There was lots of people jumping up and down, stamping them back in and in order for the session to continue. All
high-tech stuff again.
Very embarrassing, really, and a complete waste of time, obviously.
And that meant the rest of the session was pretty busy. Button was all over the place.
Not a good car.
Davidson spun off and hit the tyre barrier.
He did right at the end. Might have damaged the front suspension a bit. Gave the team something to do. Gave the mechanic something to do over the course of the Friday night.
The fastest three in free practice two were Hamilton, Raikkonen and Ralph.
Ralph?
Yeah, he's always good in
practice, isn't he? Testing and that.
Needs to keep on practicing. In free practice three, Hamilton stopped at the end of the pit lane, so that was not a good start to his Saturday. The marshals pushed him back, and it took 10 minutes for the team to fix him up and send him on his way. Button broke down in the pit lane, and the team had to push him back to the garage. How come the marshals didn't push him back?
Oh, because Hamilton stopped outside of the pit lane, so they had to get him back into the pits before the team could kind of grab him.
Sato spun off into the gravel at exactly the same point that Davidson did the day before.
So super aggro magnets then in that tyre wall?
Possibly.
Just pulling them off the track there. Something else for them to contend with. No sponsorship and big magnets. It must be.
Free practice 3 is not all about Hamilton, but he spun off towards the end of the session and had a trip through the gravel, but he was able to continue and he got fastest time along with Massa and Raikkonen. Shall I tell you about qualifying?
Oh, go on then.
In qualifying 1, Sato went out pretty early, but he aborted his lap and came back into the pits. I think maybe he was having issues with his hard tyres. Most of the other people waited until halfway through the session. Hamilton was pretty fast, but a little bit edgy. Raikkonen went quicker and was only a couple of tenths slower than last year's pole.
Pretty good going.
Yamamoto spun and sat on the track for a minute before carrying on his merry way. Davidson popped up into 8th, which was fabulous.
That was really good. Out of nowhere. Unexpected.
He was like in the dropout zone and we were all on the edge of our seats. And then he popped up into 8th.
Yeah, I think he made a mistake on that lap as well. So it was really good to end up where he did.
And both Hondas made it through to the second session as well.
Quite impressive based on their Friday form. That's quite an achievement for them.
The fastest 3 were Raikkonen, Alonso and Massa. And dropping out were Liuzzi, Schumacher, Sato, Vettel, Sutil and Yamamoto. In quali 2, Wurz went off track, completely ruined his lap and basically his whole weekend. It was the usual battle at the top, but we were watching Davidson because, again, he got up into 8th. And it looked like he was going to stay there, but then he got knocked down to 9th and then Trulli pushed him into the dropout zone.
It was oh so close. Man of qualifying, Mr. Anthony Davidson. A blinding lap, wouldn't it?
He said it was one of his best ever.
Yeah, good time to do it too.
Is it?
Well, he's under a bit of pressure. Sato's got all the points and the glory this year. The team might be thinking about dropping him.
No.
Well,
they're not allowed to.
Will you protest?
Yes.
Okay. Look at this point of view. He couldn't have done it at a better time of the year. That's all I'm going to say.
In qualifying 3, Raikkonen went out first, quickly followed by Hamilton.
So Ferrari learnt from Hungary then.
Mm-hmm.
McLaren obviously had to divulge all their secrets in qualifying in order to justify the problems that occurred. And Ferrari were obviously taking notes and cooled their car down quicker and got Kimi up front. Sneaky.
Trulli was the first to pit, but he was swiftly followed by Raikkonen and Hamilton, who pitted at the same time. And we heard some McLaren team radio.
Yes, we did. How exciting.
Yeah, oh, well, it really wasn't. He said, where am I losing time? And he said, a tenth in the last sector.
Yeah, but woohoo! But the significance is important because we don't normally hear McLaren radio, do we? So, obviously, maybe, well...
Sometimes at the end.
Yeah, on the
well done,
down
Lewis.
Lap. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Isn't life great? Aren't we wonderful when we win? That kind of things. But we don't think we've ever heard it, well, at least not for a good couple of years.
I don't think I ever have, put it that way.
Actually, team radio hasn't been going that long, has it? No, I don't think we've ever heard team radio from McLaren during any session other than in the slowing down lap. So a very significant moment in Grand Prix history, potentially, and certainly a result of what happened in Hungary, one would assume.
And also, as a result of what happened in Hungary, do McLaren have 2 pit boxes?
Ted said they do. Ted Kravitz, ITV reporter, said they have 2 pit boxes and they were using 2 pit boxes because the pit lane in Turkey was so much bigger than the majority of pit lanes.
Is that legal?
Yeah, I mean, they've got to pay twice the number of people to do the job. And they can only do it in tracks where the pit lane's big enough. But there's certainly no regulation to say you can only have 1 pit box.
Hamilton was on pole and then Raikkonen made a mistake. So all the eyes were on Alonso. But Massa snuck in and took pole.
That's not the first time he's done that.
It's always a surprise with Massa.
Well, yeah, it is, isn't it? You never know with him. He's not predictable in any way, shape or form, and neither is he consistent. Therefore, if he ever gets pole, it's like, you know, oh, he did.
It's like he's having a slow weekend and then he pops up in pole. Yep. Or he's having a really fast weekend and he ends up like 19th.
Yeah, that's true. And also, Kimi did make a mistake. Kimi should have really been on pole. He made a mistake in the last couple of corners. Lost a bit of time, and that probably gave pole position to Massa.
The final positions were Massa, Hamilton, Raikkonen, Alonso, Kubica, Heidfeld, Kovalainen, Rosberg, Trulli, and then Fisichella.
That's a pretty poor showing from Fisichella, has to be said. What happened to him?
But Trulli made it into the top 10, whereas Schumacher was out first. qualifying.
That's a major.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, Ralph said he had problems, but when doesn't he? Let's be honest. Alonso may have made the wrong tyre choice. He went for the hard tyres while everybody else tried it on the soft tyres, and he looks like he paid the price for that decision. Not for the first time this year, Rosberg outdriving his car, wouldn't you say?
Is that physically possible?
Well, I guess not. He's getting the best out of the equipment he's been given then, let's say that much.
This race marked Alonso's 100th Grand Prix, and to celebrate, Ron Dennis presented him with a scale model of a Mercedes-Benz Silver Arrow driven by Stirling Moss in the 50s. He handed the gift to Alonso and joked, "Something heavy for you to throw at us."
That's very good,
that's,
actually.
That's a joke, but also slightly truthful.
As all the best jokes are, I like Ron's sense of humour in this, because Alonso was giving the team a bit of grief early in the weekend, suggesting that he brought at least 0.6 a lap to the team, and they haven't rewarded him for it. So, you know, I'm kind of with Ron on this one. And yes, I suspect at some point in the coming, before the end of the season, he will literally throw it back at them.
Yeah, but don't you think that really he was saying that, like, I've brought this to the team, whereas Hamilton has done bugger all, as opposed to I've done it all by myself. Engineers, what are they?
Well, that's certainly the way Hamilton spun it. He certainly mentioned the team a lot, said, "Oh, the team wonderful," and all that kind of thing. I think Alonso probably, there was a little bit of, you know, lost in translation, whereby he knows he can set up the car, he knows he can drive the technical aspects forward, and he knows that Hamilton can't.
Didn't Ferrari's wheels confuse you a little bit?
That was embarrassing. I find that rude. No one's mentioned it. No one's said too much about it. It looked silly. Have we suddenly become NASCAR all of a sudden? Are we going to start painting sort of fake headlights on the front of the cars to pretend they look like real cars? Should we do that now?
All it was...
Is this what it's come to?
All it was is they've put stickers, or they've painted on the inside of the wheel bin things.
Fake. Fake wheel rims on their wheel bins.
I don't see what's the problem with that.
It looks stupid because it doesn't go round, does it? It's a fixed wheel bin, so that the inside of the wheels don't go round. So therefore, it doesn't look like the car's moving, even when it's going 180 miles an hour. It looks stupid. And it's insulting.
No, it isn't. They're just doing it to keep the sponsor happy, because when they cover up
their
the
wheel
thing
rims
with the bins, then they can't see who the tyres are made by.
Clearly, their sponsor is PBS, who make alloy wheel rims. And so they've painted fake alloy wheel rims on some plastic covers that cover and hide the wheel. That's just stupid. I'm sorry, I feel my intelligence has been insulted by that sticker.
I think you're a bit too upset by a sticker, really.
It's not NASCAR. We're not painting... Oh.
I thought you liked NASCAR.
Yeah, but I don't like the silly stickers that pretend they have headlights when they don't really. That's silly too. And a fake radiator on the front, because, you know...
Okay, moving on.
Go on.
There seemed to be a lack of crowds...
No kidding.
At the circuit.
It was worse than Indy. No one turned up.
Bernie's taken over. Right.
Yes. Management of the circuit. Not generally.
Well, he is taking over the world.
That's true.
He took over in May, and he started TV commercials to promote the GP in Greece, Poland and Bulgaria.
Massive major hotspots for Formula One.
Absolutely.
Events.
Try and attract those foreign audiences. No one turned up.
Right.
He's applied cost-cutting measures to reduce personnel.
Right, and then the drains lifted up.
Exactly.
So that went well.
And he's banned all non-profit races. So all the extra races they hold, like WTCC and
throughout
that.
Throughout the
year. If they're not making profit, they're not going to Turkey.
Is that ring true for Formula One? Because clearly with nobody there, that's not making a profit either. Is he going to ban his own race?
He might
do.
He might have to.
He could be a victim of his own success here.
Both Hondas had an engine penalty.
Oh dear, that's not good.
Both of them.
Well, and this year, in the year of engine homologation, you would expect some consistency and reliability. That's a bit of a shame, really.
So they were basically at the back of the grid.
Both plumb last. And unfortunately, Button, who was out qualified by Barrichello, was last of the two Hondas.
Well, that's okay, because Barrichello was last at the last race, so it's Button's turn this race.
Right? They're taking it turn to be useless. Brilliant.
Martin Brundle's grid walk. Not so much of a grid walk, more of a grid stand. He basically talked to Lewis Hamilton for 10 seconds, and that was it.
That wasn't a grid walk at all, was it? That brings shame on the name, grid walk.
It was interesting that they talked to Lewis Hamilton, because he wouldn't talk to him before. So McLaren are being all, you know, open and... honest now. But
yeah, I'm wondering if Lewis hasn't sort of had time to sit down and think about how he's been acting, especially with the press sort of on his back for the last couple of weeks. He's kind of thinking, yeah, I might be, you know, been a little bit mean to Martin by refusing to talk to him on the grid. Maybe I'm going to be more open now.
Trying to prove what a nice guy he really is.
Oh, he is a nice guy. No, didn't you know that? Yeah, no, nice boy. Never swears.
Whatever.
Never says a bad word, that guy. Housewife's favourite.
Before the race even started, on the formation lap, Coulthard was on the radio saying, I'm having gearbox problems.
Isn't this circuit light, the lightest circuit on gearboxes in the entire year?
Yeah, it really is.
There's absolutely no strain on gearboxes whatsoever, and he can't make it on the formation lap.
I'll tell you what, this whole gearbox Red Bull thing, it's really starting to get boring.
You can't even make a good joke about it anymore, can you?
But apparently the gearbox automatically reset itself or whatever. The problem went away, basically.
Okay, so he's all right.
The start was pretty interesting. Raikkonen got past Hamilton to take second, and both BMWs got past Alonso.
Yeah, Heidfeld flew off that line. He was on the dirty side of the grid. He did really well.
Fisichella went in a bit too fast.
Got it all wrong.
He tapped Trulli, who went into a spin, and that put the midfield into absolute chaos. Davidson fell to 15th from 11th. Coulthard went up to 9th from 13th. Barrichello went up to 16th. Button got ahead of Sato and Trulli and was pushing to get past Yamamoto, which, to be honest, is not something I thought I'd say.
No, but I mean, it has to be said, after the race, Fisichella claimed that Trulli braked early. But I watched the replay. I've seen the photographs. I don't see him braking any earlier than any other car. I think Fisichella went in too hot, caused utter chaos, and got away scot-free himself. Trulli obviously fell to the back of the grid. Everyone else was spread around him. Fisichella carried on fine.
Unfortunately, it was Webber that was having issues, not Coulthard, during
what
the race.
What happened?
Actually, it wasn't specifically gearbox problems. He slowed right down and got into the pits and then retired. Hydraulic problems.
Couldn't fix it. Couldn't get him back out.
Kubica pitted really early. It was like lap 12 or something.
Yeah, they had a pretty bad strategy. You could see what they were trying to do. They were trying to get him in the mix between the Ferraris and the McLarens in qualifying, and then hopefully, you know, maybe hold one or two of them back. He did get in front of Alonso at the first corner, but it didn't pay dividends, did it? His strategy was kind of messed up from that point on.
Barrichello was told that Button, who was behind him, was faster than him, and he laughed.
Well, he did.
He said, don't make me laugh.
Yeah, well, he said he was 2 seconds a lap quicker, which was some hell of an exaggeration.
Yeah, but then Button overtook him, so that showed him.
I suppose it did, yeah.
Heidfeld jumped Kubica in the pits, and then Alonso jumped Heidfeld.
That was a very good lap from Alonso. We didn't get to see it, but he played a blinder. He put on a similar amount of fuel to Heidfeld, but still ended up in front of him.
He only had one lap extra, didn't he, before he went into the pits.
Absolutely, but it was the perfect lap.
Everyone was diving into the pits, but Kovalainen, he stayed out, and he kept on staying out. Hamilton went in the pits, and then Kovalainen was leading the race.
For the second time this year, a Renault leads a race.
Are you happy?
I am very happy, yeah.
Really didn't last very long. One lap.
But yeah, it wasn't even a whole lap, was it? But you know, that's the best I'm going to get, I think, this year.
Sutil came into the pits and then he stalled his engine while he was there. It looked like he was going to have to retire, but they were really just moving him out of the way for Yamamoto to do his stop. So then they started Sutil up again, pushed him out a couple of laps down on everyone else. I still don't understand why they do that. He was like 4 laps down on everyone by the end.
Yeah, it was extra running. They don't, as we said earlier in the show, they don't do much testing. So any laps are good laps, really. I'm sure they can get some information out of it, even if it's an old car that they're never going to use again.
Massa ripped the top of his helmet off.
Unusual, that.
Very odd. It was like he was just. It looked like he was just going to rip off the thing off his visor, like they do. But then this whole section came off the top of his helmet.
And
he just threw it behind him.
Yeah.
I think he said at the end that it was causing him issues or. Making his head bob up and down or something.
Yeah, I think it was kind of cracked or there was a gap and it was pulling his head back. It was too much air coming in. And then when he got to a corner, it didn't pull his head back, so his head dropped forward. So it was basically hurting his neck. So he managed to kind of rip it off and solve the problem.
It looked like it was getting to be a close battle between the two Ferraris because Massa made a mistake at one corner and Raikkonen caught him right up and everything. Then the mechanics came out, but no one went into the pits.
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is under pressure, Massa started to lose it again, didn't
he?
Anytime someone's anywhere near him,
made a mistake,
panics, makes mistakes, all goes to pieces. Ted said something in the commentary that maybe the race engineers were kind of playing chicken with each other. Do you think that could have happened?
They wouldn't do that. That's ridiculous. Like, oh, let's see who can run out of fuel fastest.
Well,
Like, yeah, let's put our car out of the race. That's not going
to
happen.
Well, the mechanics did look slightly bemused, and there definitely seems to be some kind of communication issues going on with that team, obviously, during qualifying last race, and then this kind of happening. I wonder if everything's really going to plan within the Ferrari camp. But no harm done. Kimi came in first. Massa followed him.
Yeah, Raikkonen came in and he stopped like half a metre away from his line.
He did miss his pit box.
So it ruined it a little bit, but he came out into traffic. So yes. It's all his own fault.
Well, I mean, the team sent him out in traffic. They worked out the strategy. It's just bad luck, really, on his part. He didn't have... I mean, basically, he lost it, didn't he, in qualifying the day before. That's where it went wrong. And he couldn't recover in the race.
Massa pitted soon after and he retained his lead. Hamilton got a puncture.
What a puncture.
His tyre just fell apart.
It did. And it was flapping all over the place.
It was. He managed to get back to the pits, which is quite impressive because he was off the track at one point.
Yeah.
And he said he was struggling to get round corners and he couldn't slow down too much and he couldn't go too fast.
Almost
and
hit the pit wall on the pit entry.
He seemed to be quite good at the whole damage limitation driving.
Yes. He did very well, actually. All credit to him.
And he was due a pit stop anyway, so it actually didn't harm him too much. He came out in fifth, which...
Yeah.
Kind of ruined his race, but considering what could have happened, that was very good.
Absolutely, good save.
Apparently, Bridgestone went a bit mental with the tyre. They like immediately wrapped it up in the red plastic bags that they use and then scurried around with it, examined it, whisked it off for scientific analysis.
Legged it down the pit lane with it.
You know,
it was on fire, apparently.
It's just a puncture. Get over it.
I mean, if they were worried about the integrity of their tyres, then maybe they had a right to worry if they thought that it could happen again and maybe there was something wrong with the structure of the tyre and the way that the course happens to work. They may have had a reason to be kind of paranoid, but possibly over the top for a puncture.
Considering he started right at the back, Jensen managed to fight his way quite a way through the crowd, didn't he?
Where did he end up? 13th or something?
Yes.
Very good.
Which obviously, no points, nothing like that, but still, from the back...
Yeah, we noticed it. We appreciated the effort he put in.
I always appreciate the effort he puts in.
Of course you do. Sorry. Yeah, I appreciate the effort he put in then, if that counts for anything more.
Towards the end, Raikkonen seemed to settle for second place. Seemed to back off a little bit.
Probably told to back off, yep.
Kovalainen was behind Hamilton and catching him up, but Hamilton must have, because there was like a little bit of damage to his car.
He had end plate damage on the front wing and he'd lost the barge board on the right hand side of his car. So it was a little bit understeery, yes.
He had to adjust his driving style, but of course he's a pro.
He did it well, actually.
He did it.
Although it got pretty close on the very last lap. I don't know if he made a mistake, but Kovalainen certainly got close to him, didn't he?
Not close enough, though.
No. So he retained, what, fifth place?
The final points positions went to Massa, Raikkonen, Alonso, Heidfeld, Hamilton, Kovalainen, Rosberg and Kubica. Which leaves the Drivers' Championship with Hamilton on 84, Alonso on 79, Massa on 69, Raikkonen on 68 and Heidfeld on 47. Whilst the Constructors has McLaren on 148, Ferrari on 137, BMW on 77, Renault on 36 and Williams on 22. So I'll be honest, it wasn't the most exciting weekend I've ever seen. The best bit about qualifying was Davidson, and the best bit about the race was Hamilton's puncture. Right. And that was it.
So not enough crashes for you then?
No, it's not all about crashes, but it was just a bit dull.
Yeah, considering the track should promote overtaking, there wasn't an awful lot going on. I mean, you can understand in Hungary, which is not a particularly good racetrack, it would have been a dull race.
Nobody struggled with turn eight or anything.
Nobody made any major mistakes. Nobody really, I mean, Button overtook a couple of cars. Nobody made an awful lot of overtaking manoeuvres throughout the race, especially at the front where it mattered. Everyone pretty much held station until the pit stops, and that's where the race was won.
I'll tell you what, at the end, I'm sure I saw John Todd smiling.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's hard to tell.
It's a 1-2 finish.
He doesn't do it very often, so it was hard to tell, but it looked like a smile to me.
Wow. I mean, he couldn't have asked for a better weekend. Pole, fastest lap from Kimi and win from Massa. So, maybe, you know, it could have been a wry smile. Could have been. I'd have to watch it back just to prove it, though. I wouldn't like to commit.
I'll tell you what, Raikkonen, though, he was not smiling. He looks half dead.
Again.
When he finishes the race. I mean...
Malaysia, half dead. This race, half dead.
I know some people go naturally red with the exertion and everything. And, I mean, it's a lot of exertion.
Yep.
But, you know, he's red, he's sweating, it looks like he's got matchsticks holding open his eyes. You know, it's not good. I worry about him. I really do.
Yes. He wasn't a pretty picture, it has to be said.
There's quite a cool pattern in the finishing order of some of the lower people. Like Ralph finished in 12th and Trilly finished in 16th. So that's four places gap.
Yep.
Button finished in 13th. Barrichello finished in 17th.
Four places. Right.
Davidson 14th. Sato 18th.
There's a pattern here.
Liuzzi 15th. Vettel 19th.
That is unusual. That's very unusual. I like it though. So you've got Ralph out driving his teammate, even though his teammate kind of got shunted off by someone else is doing. You've got Button literally out driving Barrichello. Davidson, he started ahead of Sato, but I think he did well to kind of to maintain that lead through the race. And Liuzzi, well impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite disappointed by Vettel, but apparently he had his engine stalled during a pit stop.
Ah, so it took a bit of time to get him going again.
So that didn't help, but, you know, still not that impressed with what he's done so far.
And wasn't that Liuzzi's first finish since Malaysia?
Yes, Liuzzi has retired from the last 9 races. Actually, it's notable that Mark Webber was the only retiree this race.
Oh dear.
Had to be Mark, didn't it? I had to put money on it.
The magnet for bad luck. Yeah. Can I also point out that Fisichella here, the first corner incident, he's now fallen behind Kovalainen in the championship standings.
Rightly so.
Yeah. I didn't think it was as bad a race as you're proclaiming it to be. I quite enjoyed it. I mean, it shows there can always be a surprise in Formula 1 with the tyre exploding. You know, it's not over until the last lap. And it sets up the championship perfectly for the next, 5 races. So I think it was, you know, all things considered, a pretty good race.
Considering we've had, 3 weeks off, we haven't done that much housekeeping, really.
Well,
we've made some little changes here and there that, you know, if you're eagle-eyed, you might spot them.
Yeah.
But nothing,
we not have a holiday too?
No, nothing major. The only thing of note, I think, is that we're putting up photographs of...
Oh, yeah.
As we're recording.
Yeah, yeah, behind the scenes. As we're recording a podcast, we can take some photographs. Can I take a picture of you now?
Yeah, go on.
Hold on. You smile for the camera.
Yes.
Oh.
You wouldn't catch John Todd smiling like that, let me tell you.
That's a perfect picture. That'll be on the Enhanced podcast. So if anyone's looking on their iPod, they can see that picture. And we're also going to put it on, at the moment, it's sitting on the About Me page.
And they're on Flickr.
A bunch of pictures, things that are going on behind the scenes. As we make a podcast, we'll take some pictures and we'll give you some technical insight of what's, you know, how this thing gets made.
So that's it for this week.
Yeah, there's no race next week.
Nope.
What are we going to be doing then?
It's a surprise.
Yes. It's going to be a surprise to all of us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. See you next week then.